We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
Here's a good one. Just because you love them doesn't mean you should stay in a relationship with them.
Oh, we're getting real, real.
Very real. Sounds like the listeners are going to therapy and very proud of all you.
We love them for that. We love them for that. Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica. Hello, hello. Happy Year in Review Day.
Hello. Happy Data Day to Allie. Day of the year. Excited to hear her in-depth numbers and pivot tables.
I have pivot tables.
You have pivot tables. I have no pivot tables. I kept mine a little simple this time. But I'm here. I'm here for it.
I'm very excited. I am currently in Mexico. It is my last day of vacation with my family. And they already knew my love for Sunset Lake CBD, and they already had several products. I've gotten them on to additional products on this trip.
Ooh, like what else?
So we went horseback riding, and we've all been horseback riding like our whole lives. We love it. But we are getting a little older, and things start to hurt a little bit more. And I introduced them to the CBD Arnica salve that Sunset Lake makes.
That stuff is powerful. It really
it's
works.
So good. It's so good. And I felt like I was like a vendor on the street, like with all of my wares. Like they're like, oh, I'm hurting. I'm like, oh, here's this. Like I had trouble sleeping last night. I'm like, oh, have you tried the melatonin drops?
Oh, it's the best. It's truly the best. They have everything for everything that you could possibly need. Even their like regular lotion now comes in different scents. And I also believe different like levels of CBD. So again, for how much pain you're in.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You just label it with like small pain, large pain. You're good to go. And our listeners, if you haven't tried Sunset Lake yet, or even if you have, this code works over and over again as many times as you want. You can go to sunsetlakecbd.com, use our code FMH2020, and get 20% off the whole website.
Yeah, my mom even uses it. So you can also get it as a gift for someone this holiday season. Promo really code FMH20, 20% off, and you can use it as many times as you need.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And Mexico has also been fantastic. We've been having a great time.
Looks like it. I've been creeping your gram.
Yeah, it's been very fun. This is our like annual, we see each other a lot, but this is our annual, like just the three of us travel. Also the annual time when Drake and I have to tell people we're not married like 5 or 6 times a day.
Seriously? Because I think you guys look a lot alike that I would never guess anything other than related.
I think people just assume if our mom is with us, it's different. But like, if it's just the two of us, I think just because of the setting that we're in on like a beach vacation, they just assume. And I have stopped correcting them when they're like, oh, is your husband coming back? I'll just be like, yes. Just easier than explaining.
Yeah, right. Yes, we're in a fight, actually. He's cooling off, taking a lap by the pool.
Yeah, like last night we did like a sunset sail kind of thing. We saw some whales, which was very cool. And they have they have photographers on all of these things. And they asked us if we wanted to take couples photos.
Did you do it? Were you like, yeah, get my mother-in-law in there?
We did not do it. We did not do it. I thought it would be funny, but we didn't.
So I have another scam for the pod.
Hell yeah. This is going to become update / scams.
I'm like, I feel like if I don't have a dating update, I will have a scam for everybody to share.
Don't you worry. What is your scam this week, Erica?
Okay. So I caught something. I have been going to a lot of weddings this year, whatever. So I put the most recent one on my credit card and I got, you know, the block room rate, as you do. Mm-hmm. You book the room blocks, you get the discount.
Yeah.
So we check out. I get a receipt to my email for whatever amount. It was like the discount rate. I check my credit card they charged me the regular rate of the room.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, huh. And I said, oh, maybe it was a mistake or whatever. But I was like, that's crazy. You emailed me a receipt for what you charged me, and then you charged me a different amount. So I called them, and then they claimed very shady, very shady. So I call them and they claimed, oh, it probably was like an incidental hold that didn't get taken off. We'll adjust it. Now, your girl travels a lot. And for comedy, I always have to put my card down for the incidental.
Yeah.
When you do, it's a flat number. It's like $100, $200, and separate charge. So I was like, I'm no dummy to this game. I check the difference in price. It's like $136 and like 24 cents. So I was like, this is not an incidental. You charged me the full rate thinking you can get away with it. So then I was like, I have to tell people.
Wrong lady.
Right. But I was like, I have to tell some other people I know that went to the wedding, because if they did it to me, I'm not going to be surprised if they did it to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So I told my high school friends, check yours. And the same thing happened to them. Then I told, well, this is where I felt bad. It was my friend's wedding. I was in the wedding. And like the group chat with all the bridesmaids is so like, it was such a beautiful day. Like, oh my God. Like, thank you for having me be a part of the day. Like, I love you so much. You look so beautiful. And it's like all this positivity. And I'm like, guys, I have a scam.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. Love is a scam. So I was like, ah. And the bride's sister, who was the maid of honor, didn't stay at the hotel. They did like an Airbnb. So I was like, all right, I'll just start like a separate chat with the bridesmaids to be like, hey, don't want to bring the room down for Meg's big day, but check your credit cards. I think we all got scammed at this hotel. They all check. Happened to all of them too.
What a shady hotel.
Right? Like, I was like, can I like report them? I feel like this is illegal, because like the biggest part is
better business bureau issue.
Right. Or it'd be one thing if they emailed me the receipt and it was like the not the block room rate. But it's like the fact that you're giving me a false receipt is what's fucked up. I mean, even more fucked up. The whole thing's fucked up. But then I was like, I'll wait like a day. And then I texted the bride and was like, hey, you might want to check your credit card. This happened to me and the bridesmaids and all our high school friends, / maybe tell everybody that stayed at that hotel. And she checked and they did it to the bride. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, the word that I was looking for just flew out of my head. But yeah, that's nuts. Especially because, I mean, it sounds like the majority of these people, and I would probably be in this camp, wouldn't have noticed.
That's the thing. I think it was like $50 off a night. So it's not this like drastic thing. And to be honest with you, I think I only noticed because I split it with somebody. And I sent her the request. And the request I sent was my credit card, because that's where I looked. And she was like, I thought it was like, you know, this much per night. And then I was like, wait a second. And I said, well, that's what they charged my card. And I went and looked at the receipt and I was like, those motherfuckers.
Wait a minute.
How dare they?
Scam artists.
Anyway, but I'm telling everybody now. I'm like, you go to a wedding, double check.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that actually having Finding Mr. Hyde as like a separate business has helped me with is I didn't used to be that good about checking my credit card for whether I got charged the appropriate amount for stuff. But now, because I have to categorize everything in QuickBooks or whatever as like a business expense or a personal expense, like I have to look at everything. And I have caught many errors, mistakes, erroneous or fraudulent charges. And I shudder to think at how much money I have spent in my life not knowing.
Yeah, that's why I always, even if I don't fill it out, you know, like the restaurant receipt that you take with you.
Oh, yeah.
I always just take it because I'm like, at least they think I know exactly what I tipped and what the total is. Like, it makes me feel like I'm less likely to get scammed. They're like, that person took the receipt. We can't add a dollar.
We can't do anything.
But it happens. Yeah. You know what actually happened to my aunt? Because I just told my mom. She was staying at like a Four Seasons hotel for like some work thing, right? So it's not even on her credit card, whatever. She ordered like a breakfast yogurt parfait to get like brought up to her room because she was getting ready to go to whatever conference. Yeah. She orders it. Maybe 2 minutes later, she gets a call back and it's like, hey, something happened. Our system went down. We lost your order. We need to re-put in your order. Like, what did you order? So she says, oh, yogurt parfait. And they're like, okay. And we lost everything. So we need also your credit card information. Da da da. And she was like, for a yogurt parfait? And she says, oh yeah, the credit card's not on the room anymore. Like, we lost everything. And my aunt's like, that's weird. And she just said, oh, she goes, don't worry about it. Don't send it. I'll just go down and figure it out at the desk. So then she's getting ready. The yogurt parfait gets delivered. And she says to the guy, she's like, oh, I thought something was down with the system. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Right. And this is also like one of the top hotels that is out there. So she like went down to the desk and she's like, listen, somebody in this hotel is like stealing people's credit cards and information. And they're using your like room service system. And they're telling them, you know, the order got lost and we need a credit card. Like FYI. But she was like, this is the Four Seasons. I can't believe this is happening. And I was like, I can, because also like her, it wouldn't have been her credit card. It would have been a business one.
Yeah.
So it's like you're almost more likely to be like, oh yeah, this is on the company. Here's the card.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And I'm sure they know that because they're like people staying at this hotel for that conference.
Right.
Not to like freak people out about potential scams even further, but yeah. One of the restaurants that I used to work at, there was a like sting that happened. This was in Philly. There was like a sting that went down because our takeout server had like an extra swipey thing underneath the counter, and he was taking customers' credit cards when they ordered takeout, like when they came in to pick up their takeout, and then swiping it through his own thing underneath the counter that would like copy their numbers. And they pieced it together that all the people that were victims of this scam or this whatever it is had been to this restaurant.
Dang.
And so then there was like this whole thing and we got raided. It was like a whole thing. I wasn't working that day. I was kind of upset.
But I missed the drama. The one exciting day at Bubba Gump's could have been, could have been there.
This was California Pizza Kitchen. So not even nearly as exciting as Bubba Gump. Anyway. So yeah,
anyway, watch out for it was just wedding people. Season. So I'm like, check your things. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, I have neither scam nor dating update. I have been sort of building up matches in New York. So I've been like kind of like priming. I'm trying to go out on maybe at least one date while I'm home in between now and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that. I still have not spoken to Billy Joel.
At all. No word.
At all. Like I mentioned on last week's pod, like we talked briefly when I got home, like a couple days after our date, but not since then. So at this point, it's been coming on 2 weeks.
And you also haven't had a desire to like reach out?
No. Which is so telling. And I would assume, I can only assume that he's feeling similarly, given I haven't heard from him.
You know, as I say, the ball don't lie. The non-texting doesn't lie.
For those. I do love the ball doesn't lie, except when it's not in my favor. Sports reference for those who are confused.
Yeah. The ball don't lie. You can't argue with the ball going in the net, in the basket, in the goal, whatever it is.
Yeah, the ball don't lie. So like maybe this is just like a moo situation where we're just kind of both on the same page that we did talk on our third date. He knows because we talked about it and he agrees that like we're not in similar places in life. Mm-hmm. Like we kind of chatted about that on our third date that like I'm looking for something more long term. I am enjoying hanging out with him. It wasn't like in a we should stop hanging out way at all. But like we did discuss that.
Well, and so when you said like I'm looking for something long term, did he say anything along the lines of like I might not be ready for something like that?
No, not at all. But we did talk about like he basically was like I am too ideally, but like I totally get what you're saying that like, you know, where I'm at right now is not necessarily conducive to that. Mm. So like it wasn't a this is what I'm looking for and therefore we shouldn't see each other anymore conversation, like at all. But, and I, at the time was like, I'm enjoying seeing this person and I'm enjoying, you know, whatever this is and having fun. And, but reflecting on the fact that I like haven't really wanted to text him or talk to him in the last 2 weeks, I'm like, is this something that I really want to be putting my energy towards if it wasn't really on my mind at all and likely not on his either, given that I haven't heard from him?
Yeah, you could ask yourself the question, like, would you somewhat regret not going on one more date?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like no, but.
I think if he asked me on one, I would go. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would regret not pushing that to happen.
I get what you're saying. Because I don't know if we said, how did it end when you like literally left each other after the third date?
We had talked about, we're going to overlap for, I think, 3 days. So mm-hmm. I fly back on a red eye tomorrow night, Monday night. I get in at like 5 a.m. Tuesday. I'm basically dropping my bags and Rory off at my apartment, somehow getting my shit together and going to the office. And then yeah. I'm going to be in the office for the next 3 days. A lot. Like, those days are long. Those are the 3 days that we overlap before he leaves for a trip that he's not getting back from until I'm gone for Christmas.
Yeah. No, I remember this, but I just,
so
I didn't know if it was at all like, let's try to get together, you know, like hopefully.
It was a hopefully. Yeah. It was like, mm-hmm. I guess we'll see in those 3 days. Like, you know, it was a, mm-hmm. it was kind of like a let's wait and see kind of thing. Mostly yeah. on my end, because I had been like full transparency. I do not know if I'm going to be up to do literally anything on those days. And I also might not even be able to. Like, there have been times in this particular reason I'm going to the office, there have been times I'm there until way past when we would go on a date.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, they say, I think it's actually a Jared Fried thing. It's like the beware of like birthdays, holidays, vacations. Mm-hmm. And that's often the opportunity we all have to just fade away kind of quietly. So it seems like that might be what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's the update with that. We'll see if I get on. I know we're going to do our year in review, but I might get on one more date in 2023 or not. And then we'll just roll it on into next year.
Yeah. I'm supposed to have that setup date tomorrow, actually.
Oh, it's that soon. I didn't realize you guys had put something on the calendar.
Yeah, well, we bumped it with Thanksgiving. So I actually reached out because I knew I was out of town this weekend, just being like, all right, let me see if I can fit this in sometime soon. But as of right now, he was supposed to get back to me with like some areas in his neighborhood because I'll be driving in. And I haven't heard a word yet. So to be determined if I second follow up on that, because I'm a little wiped from this weekend and I have just a ton of boring stuff I have to get done tomorrow that I'm kind of like, all right, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And it's I kind of hate being in this kind of part where I'm like, should I re-follow up?
Yeah. That,
especially,
I mean,
when
that's,
I was like, I'll come to your neighborhood. Pick a spot.
Those are the situations where I feel like I've already gone 90. Like, I've already like... Yeah. A, you followed up with this person to even make the date happen. B, you are going all the way out of your way to go to him. Can he not go the 10% to pick a place?
I mean, it hasn't happened yet, you know, to be determined.
Perhaps not.
Early in the night. You know, and I'm not like a stickler with like, you need to answer by this time of the day. Like, a little bit where I'm like, yeah, I would like to hear from you at least by tomorrow morning, because I got to like get my dress hemmed and all this other stuff for like my brother's wedding. So I'm just like,
right.
If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And it's actually my grandpa's birthday tomorrow. So I'm also like, well, then I'll go see my grandpa. Like, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll just change my plans to go see my grandpa instead. Wish him a happy birthday, which is probably what I should be doing now that I say it out loud. I was like, I could do both. He eats dinner at frickin' 4 p.m. So I could join for 4 p.m. dinner and then go on the date. It's not hard. You know?
Very true. Very true. So, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to what happens.
Yeah. To be determined. Anyway, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do our stats?
Well,
questions?
Before we get into that, we have a big announcement. did this happen again?
My mind is fucking blank. What is our announcement?
We're doing a live show.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ. Dude, I've had a long week.
You found the venue and everything.
I almost said Portugal. I was like, yeah, Portugal. And then I was like, that's
Portugal.
Not it. America. That's it. Yeah, funny. I did find the venue. Anyway, we're doing a live show. January 20th.
Saturday, January 20th.
In New York. At this place called Sesh Comedy. They have a new room. It's a great room, perfect for podcasts. We could be very interactive with the crowd. And it's January 20th at 6 p.m. So also a perfect time that we can all go out somewhere after and meet everybody and talk and get to know you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So by the time this airs, we'll have released our ticket link. So you can check that out. And we hope to see as many of you there as possible. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, our last show was so fun. So very excited.
Oh my God.
And hope more people can come to this one.
Agreed. I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Should we start with the stats?
Sure. All right. You go first because yours are more heavy than mine.
So I found this interesting when I was thinking about, because like, you know, we did a Dating Wrapped episode last year. So if you haven't listened to that one, you can go back to hear kind of how our year ended last year. And I thought that I dated a lot less this year. Like just anecdotally, when I was like thinking back on my year, I was like, I didn't date as much this year. Like it just didn't happen for me. I actually, though, went on 17 first dates, and last year I went on 20. So it wasn't that much less.
No, that's not that much less.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is that I went on 7 second dates this year and only 5 last year. So I went on fewer first dates, but more of those first dates turned into second dates. I like that trend.
Okay. So it's almost like you feel like, I don't know if we want to say sifting, that feels a little weird, but almost like somehow you're, I don't know, looking for something that is more aligned.
Yeah, I feel like my picker has gotten better.
Okay. And also, well, this is stepping on your stats, but were any of your dates people you met in person? Or was it still all online?
I had 2 IRL.
Oh, okay.
But none that came from my push to go on more IRL stuff.
All right, well, still take it. Are they both matchmaker or no?
No, neither from Matchmaker. One I met at my friend's engagement party, and then the other one is like an acquaintance, like an old acquaintance. But so I didn't,
right. I forgot.
I didn't get any dates from my like push to go and do more stuff in real life, but I did successfully establish several new friendships.
Yeah,
and that is something that I, yeah. And that's something that I wasn't expecting from the year. Mm-hmm. But like, as I was reflecting on one of the listener questions that we got was like, which relationships really flourished this year? And I think my friendships I think I was more intentional about establishing friendships and growing friendships. And it was an unexpected benefit of my push to myself to do more stuff in person.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But so the vast majority though were dating apps. It was just those two, and then the other 15 were from dating apps. Bumble still reigns supreme. Bumble was over half of those. Yeah. No ghosting this year. That's big. Last year there were several ghostings.
Oh, there you go. No ghostings.
So again, I feel like that means that my filter's getting better too. Like I'm converting more first dates into second dates and not going out with people who end up ghosting me. Not that that's my fault necessarily, but like I like that stat.
Well, the second date thing, I'm curious, and I'm not trying to knock like your picker or anything, but I'm curious, do you also feel like this past year you were more open to like, I'll give it another date as opposed to maybe the past?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked back at like the first dates that didn't go to second dates last year, most of them were like a definite no. Like it was like, I do not want to go out with this person again.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Whereas I had fewer of those this year. Like I can think of a couple that stand out that I was like, absolutely not. But I had fewer, which I appreciate. Feels like a win.
Yeah. I know for myself, I don't think I was necessarily closed off to it before. I'd probably say in the last couple years, I've been a lot more open to like the second date. Mm-hmm. But it is usually when it's like, yeah, if they ask, like if you ask me on another one, I'm like, okay. Like I don't really have a reason to say no. So
yeah,
if there's no clear deal breakers on the first date, I'll give it another shot. I will say this though. I think I might axe the coffee dates. And it's not even like I go on that many, but first of all, I don't like coffee. So let's start there. I'm not
that's
a coffee drinker.
That's a tough starting spot.
It's immediately a thing that I'm like, you know, so then it's like, now I'm fussier about the coffee shop. Like, do they have matcha? Do they have this? You know, whatever. Real matcha. And I'm like a little matcha queen or whatever. Or what do they call it? Like I'm fussy about my matcha. I'm a little picky about it. Yeah. All right. I'm a little bougie about my matcha. We could say that. The number one thing I don't like about it, I'll give this, specifically LA, now that I'm out there more. LA is not a walk around town. So it's like, we can't get the drink and walk around, you know? So it's like, that's why I really didn't like it. It's like, okay, well, if you pick like a cute place or a place with a lot of tables, then there's a lot of people. And now everybody is listening to our date.
Yeah. Cause it's probably quiet.
Yeah. And it's what's frustrating is, you know, I stand by what I said, and I think it's always true. The people doing these coffee dates typically are going on a lot of dates. So it's also something that it's like, I don't know if it makes you kind of like have a more like disposability, but it's also like, dude, the environment I'm being put in to like crush this date is like every odd stacked against us.
Yeah.
To be like, we really hit it off and it was flirty by any level. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm just like, I think I might try that at the beginning of this year. And I think it will be tough with LA. But I'm like, I would rather literally do an ice cream date or like anything else.
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially the point you made about LA not being a walk around town. Like, I actually didn't have any coffee date. I had a couple coffee dates this year, but none of those were the ones that turned into second dates.
That's what I'm saying. That's the stat I noticed for myself. And it's not like I had a ton of them. But any ones I thought of the past, I was like, yeah, those also didn't turn into a second date, except for like one. And we did a coffee walk around and he like picked this place by the park. So I was like, of course that was better. That was infinitely better than sitting at a coffee shop.
the ones that I went on, one of them that was good, but we just like weren't aligned on a couple of things. We walked around like a cute neighborhood. And then like, mm-hmm. that's great. There's like so much to look at and point at or whatever, versus the ones like the one, what I will really never do again. Never say never on coffee dates for me personally. I, however, will never do a pre-work coffee date ever again.
Yeah, that early AM one is, that was tough.
That was tough. Brutal. Not to mention the fact that I got brutally car sick on the way there. That just added a whole other level of terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that I will never, that's never happening again. That was a mistake. I should have, I honestly don't know what I was thinking.
No, I mean, listen, you gave it a shot. You know what I mean? Like just having the show, we're trying to be open-minded and trying things. And I'm just like, I think the coffee date is not for me. If anything, if anybody met whoever they ended up marrying on a coffee date, tell me right your in. Secret because I can't figure it out.
Yeah, right in. Yeah, so the vast majority of my first dates were drinks dates, but and then all of the first dates that turned into second dates were drinks dates. So I did have – so I only went on two third dates this year, one with a publicist, obviously many more after that, and then one with Billy Joel very recently. I had more like quote unquote longer term stuff last year, like a 2022.
That was Rower Disco Ball era?
Journalist, comeback kid.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things were going on in 2022. But what that meant was, is that another listener question that we got, I think both of us got this, was how did More Kissing, Less Crying turn out in 2023, which was my like personal goal.
Yeah. In terms of heartbreak, I didn't have any real big heartbreak tears. I did in 2022. There was one person. So yeah.
I did too. There were two people. And I also kissed more people in 2023 than I did in 2022. So I did it.
Oh, look at that. Hello. I don't know if I did it. I didn't add kissing to my sheet.
I probably overall cried more this year, but not about men.
What can I ask what about?
I just had like a, I mean, I cried a lot. I've cried a lot about Rory. I've cried a lot about Rory.
Well, yeah.
And I just had, I had some like emotional ups and downs this year with like my career and what I want to do with my life. And like had a couple stressful things with my condo and then the Rory thing, just like little smatters here and there.
Yeah.
But when I look at the year as a whole, it doesn't feel like a bad thing. It feels like I was very free with my emotions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think in 2022, I was more like trying to hold it together a little bit more.
To be honest, I think there's a few people that were one date or first dates that I'm missing because I didn't so diligently like write this in my phone. I actually found the note in my phone and I saw exactly where I just forgot and stopped writing people in there. My second date was also higher. I was at 50%, which I'm like, I'm not sure if that's true because I only remembered 8 people that I went on at least one date with. But I was
maybe if you're missing a few firsties, because you wouldn't be missing anybody you went on second dates with, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I remember all the second date people. And of the second date people, only one of them was somebody I met online. So my stats are pretty close to last year. I have a little bit less people in terms of first dates. But to be honest, that part didn't like bother me specifically because I was like, my second date ratio was much higher. So I was like,
that's great. Getting better at the filtering.
Yeah. And I was like, I had one from a dating event, Chaotic Singles, and dating apps in person. So it kind of reinforced how I've been thinking and kind of feeling about dating apps that I was like, not to be like, I might not need them. I'll get back on it. But I just was like, yeah, when you look at the data, sometimes it can almost be a little depressing that you're like, so why are you putting your time into this thing?
I actually love that it like reinforced that the data actually backs up how you're feeling about it. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it just, to be honest with you, it feels like I'm like letting this podcast down if I'm not like active on apps and trying to like get more dates in. But I've just hit the point that I'm like, I can't make myself do that right now. Like mentally, I just like can't. I don't have the drive.
I actually think that that's a really valuable perspective too that you have been bringing, is that that's okay. That because I think there is an aspect of the people that are listening to this podcast likely consume other dating content as well. And sometimes I know when I see other dating content too, sometimes it can feel like, oh, everyone's going on all these dates and everyone's having all these great experiences and everyone's like on the apps and doing great. And I think that it is really great to have that counterbalance of, no, sometimes it's hard and it's not working well for you. And so you want to pivot or you want to take a break or whatever it is. I think that's a great perspective to be bringing.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. But it's kind of more from the, like, the listeners don't feel like I'm like letting them down or like, I guess not trying, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm a person. And 100%. And especially upon going to LA, I was not doing well on the apps at all.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there like, I can't force it to happen. Like, I can't force it to happen from that perspective. But I feel like just personally, I've hit the point too where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to do it for the plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I'm like,
there are some times when I'm in a do it for the plot mood. Like I'll find myself in a do it for the plot mood. But if you're not in that spot, then yeah, I think it's actually like way better to model that authenticity for yourself and like really be vulnerable with people that's not where you're at.
Yeah. Like I think, because I was going to ask you essentially after looking at your stuff, what is something you feel like you're going to maybe change for next year? Or I don't know if, dare I say, goals you have for next year. But one for me is I think I'm going to just be a little bit more vocal with people I know, saying like, and just openly being like, yeah, you know what? I really have tried the apps for like 3 years. It hasn't really worked. If you know anyone that is single, I'd be like more than happy to meet them. And keep it honestly super vague. Just like, if you know anyone you think is a great guy, nice guy, I would love if you set me up with him. That's it.
I love it.
So my goal is more setups for next year.
I have two things that I thought of. One is like small but actionable. I'm going to delete my Hinge.
Okay. Yeah. With the idea of you'll maybe go back on, or you're just like, nah.
Maybe eventually, but like, I was already feeling like Hinge was not working for me. And then looking at the data was really like, yeah, Hinge is not working for you.
Hinge, I feel like, has really gotten dragged this year overall.
Oh, yeah. People are not happy. And I am people. And I was already like feeling this way. And then, yeah. And then I looked at my pivot tables, they told me Hinge is not good. So I'm going to delete it. Also, my subscription happens to be ending in a week.
Oh, so perfect timing.
So it's perfect timing. I had like snoozed the email to remind me because those motherfuckers always charge me before I remember to cancel. So I had set a reminder to reconsider in this week. Whenever I did it, I think I bought 6 months. So I'm going to delete my Hinge. That's number one, small. And I'm going to pick something else. I'm going to continue to use Bumble, but I'm going to replace Hinge with something, whether that's Tinder or like maybe something different, something. My goal for this year, though, is to go on, I will call it one because I'm at zero this year, but go on a date from like an in-person thing that I went to.
Like a dating specific event?
Or just something that, in the last, I guess I've probably been doing it for maybe 5 or 6 months where I've been trying to go to like 2 in-person things a month, not necessarily dating related. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think end of summer. Not necessarily dating related, but like with that mindset, I'm going to continue that goal and I want to go on a date in like the first half of the year. I want to go on a date from one of those things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like I went to a singles mixer or I went to a thing.
Just some event in person.
Yes. Or like I went to an event and I met a friend and that friend introduced me to someone. Like a date that came directly from me going to an in-person thing.
Great. I love it.
That's my goal.
That's fun.
Yeah. So we shall see. And I truly have been really enjoying those in-person things that I've been pushing myself to do, like the dinner club that I joined. And obviously I had a great time at camp and like I've been hanging out with my camp friends and going to new stuff because of them. And like, I really feel like that goal has enriched my life And so maybe it can enrich it further and I can go on a date.
Well, yeah, ideally. That'd
be great. Ideally, yes. But I think the actual too, like, unexpected benefit of that goal is that it would have been very easy for me this year to just sink into work mm-hmm. and like be on the apps and go on dates from the apps and like hang out with my friends when we're doing stuff, but not really do much else because there is just always more work to do. And so having that goal really like got me out there to continue to have a life.
I mean, I love that, especially. Like, from my own perspective, I honestly compared, like, when I went to whatever in-person events, chaotic singles, speed dating, even, you know, mm-hmm. some other thing that had nothing to do with it, or nothing to do with, like, dating specifically. But yeah. I, majority of the time, had more fun doing whatever event than, like, a date from an app. And that's totally. Not knocking, like, the people I was going out with from the app. It just was... I don't know. It kind of felt like more of like a breath of fresh air that I was like, even if it didn't lead to a date and meeting anybody, I was like, well, I had fun. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So getting into more of our listener questions, we got 6 or 7 versions of this question. What was your favorite date this year?
My favorite probably was I did that mini golf date with King of Queens. That was very fun. And also, yeah. It was just nice to do something different that wasn't, let's just get drinks. So, activity yeah, dates I've, for the win. I'm not surprised I said that one.
Love an activity date. Mine is similar, but a little bit more far-reaching. It was the winery date with the publicist.
Yes, that's a good one. That's an adventure.
I just, like, really liked first of all, it was a little bit of a, like, spontaneous type of adventure. Like, it was like a, hey, like, we said we were going to see each other on Saturday. Like, let's get out of the city and do something. And I just really enjoyed, like, exploring something new with someone. That felt very fun.
Yeah, I love that type of stuff. I'm curious, though, what would you say in terms of, like, first, second dates? Like, early on dating, what was one of your favorite dates? Because that was, like, what, like, date, like, 12 or something?
6 or 7 probably.
Yeah.
I think probably on my first date with Mr. Chaotic, we went to a brewery in downtown Brooklyn and they have games there. And so we played like all sorts of different games. And like, it was also just very interactive with the other people that were at the bar. And mm-hmm. I just appreciated like the way that he was interacting with the other people that were there, with the bartenders, and we were playing the games. Like there was like a lot going on, but we were still kind of connected to each other. I liked that date a lot.
Yeah. Activities for the win.
Honestly.
Doing something different. Something that you're just moving honestly. Around.
And that was a first date. And like, I think there are some activities that are not conducive to a first date. I like a bar that has activities because we could have not done them. Like we could have right. like sat down, got our beers, been like, we are not going to continue this date. We are not going to move to the activities portion of the evening and just mm-hmm. left. But I liked the option where we weren't locked into an activity without knowing each other.
Maybe I'll make that another goal for me for this next year is like dates that just have more variety instead of drinks.
I like it.
And it'd also be a fun challenge being in LA.
Especially since you're cutting out coffee dates to like sub in something else, like you're cutting coffee dates and you want to sub in activities.
Yeah. And I think it would also, I don't want to say like make dating more enjoyable, but a little bit where it's like,
yeah,
I'm still newish to LA. So it's like, hey, even if I go on this date and like, I don't have like that great of a conversation with this person, it's like, well, I still got to check out this new thing, this new place, whatever type of activity I like have been able to put together.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Do you have a least favorite date that pops into your head? Is it one of your coffee dates?
I mean, coffee dates in general. Like, in terms of like, yeah. for a literal, what was the activity and nothing to do with the person? Yeah, it'd be coffee dates for me. Everything else was pretty much drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was most certainly the weekday morning coffee.
Yeah, morning.
Fuck that.
And I'd put the brunch date as a close second. But I, to be honest, in the moment, I didn't hate it because I was like, well, at least it's not a 2 p.m. coffee date.
LA had a low bar at that point.
Wait, I didn't talk about this one publicly, I think. When I met that guy at like, it was an LA date that was like, at a place where they had like go-go dancers like in a thong, and it was outside and still light out.
Oh yes.
And I just was like, what is happening? That one actually I'll put even above the coffee date. That was definitely worst. Second would be coffee dates.
Yeah, no.
I was like, this feels like a weird test of my sexuality or something, and I don't know what's happening. We're like, yeah, I want to be cool about brutal. This, but also where the fuck are we? What are we doing?
Like I'm not cool about this at all.
Yeah, I'm like, this, you know, just like a regular patio would have been fine. I don't need go-go dancers, because now I'm like, is it rude if I ignore the dancer? Like, they're working hard up there. So
yeah get anyway. Those dollar bills out, you know, on your first date.
Yeah, would not recommend. Yeah, why wasn't strip clubs on that first date refusal list? We should put that on.
So true. Olive Garden made the list, but strip clubs, totally fine.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to go to Olive Garden over a pole dancer, for sure. And no disrespect 100%. To the pole dancers out there. I think you're all very talented and very strong physically, because it's impossible.
So strong. I could never.
But yeah. Anyway.
What are you most proud of?
Is that just a general year question?
I think so. I mean, we can interpret however we want.
Yeah, I was like, if it's a general question, then for me it would probably be the Comedy Cellar and like getting past there, and in general having like a true full year that my income was not at all from a day job, which is very like, it's a very cool feeling to have.
Where I'm like, yeah, girl,
you had your first like real full year. Because a lot of times in the past I would just panic and then pick up a part-time job or something, because I just was like, I can't. And then this is the year I was like, ride it out, you'll be fine.
You've got this.
And I made it. I made it a full year. So I'm very happy. What was yours, babe?
I'm happy for you. That was amazing.
Thank you.
I think I'm most proud of realizing that like it's okay to let go of past dreams potentially. Mm-hmm. Like I've always been just so goal focused. And I don't think anybody would be surprised given like the notion affinity and all of that jazz. But I've always been like very focused in that sense. And I think I'm very proud of myself in the last 3 or 4 months really of like coming to terms with the fact that like the thing that I thought was the thing might not be. And like that doesn't make it any less great that I achieved it. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't mean that I have to continue on, and like knowing that and being okay with it.
Yeah, I love that.
Because it's something that I've defined myself by for a very long time.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure there's been plenty of people that are also going through that this year.
Yeah.
Totally. And the worst is when you're kind of denying yourself that truth.
Yes. And I think that's what made a lot of this year hard, is because I was like, well, no, this is the thing I wanted. Like, this has to be amazing.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, well, that's life, everybody.
100%.
Not to be depressing, but I'm like, well, that is life. You're like, I have it. And
I have it.
Oh, well. You know? you might have to catch and release some parts of life.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So there you go. You know what I actually related to? I wonder if this ever happened to you. You know, when you're like middle school or high school and it's like cliques start to form and there's people that are like kind of like the popular kids, right?
Oh, and yes, I do. Recall.
I'll never forget, like, there was this one girl that would always have like these little parties at her house or like sleepovers with all the girls. And I finally like got invited to one. And I was like, oh my God, I got like invited. Like, I was so like, oh my God, this is like, you feel like this is my chance. Like,
I'm in.
I could be cool. Right. And I'll never forget getting invited to this like party. I go and I was just like sitting there, like, this is not fun at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like all the pictures I see and people be talking about the party at school, and I'd be like, oh man, it sounds so fun. And then I finally got to the party and I was like, this sucks. You guys suck. Nobody's cool here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just suddenly was like, oh my God, I would rather hang out with my other friends. Like, I don't want this. But like getting it was what felt better than actually being there and being in the room.
I was like,
okay, this isn't that fun. I was like, I don't give a shit if I get invited next time. See ya.
Yeah. Sometimes getting it does feel better than having it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a prime example for me. I just was like, no, I don't care if I hang out with these people. What do I care? This is not fun.
Like, I'm happy to hear that because I never got that invite, but now I can know that they were terrible.
They weren't that fun.
Like that.
Listen, and my other theory is like the more pictures, the worse the party was. And that was true in college. I'd see all those pictures That's on a Facebook true. Album and I'd be like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't know there was a party there. And then I'm finally at that party and all the pictures and I'm like, there's nobody here. That's why we're taking pictures. It's because there's nothing else for us to do. It's just
You're
us.
Grouping everyone who's here into one frame so that it can look crowded.
We don't know. Yeah. And like all the poses that are like, we're partying, or like the fakest thing I've ever seen. I was like, get me out of here, dude. Not that fun. Anyway, that's what it feels like for me. That's my analogy. Oh, this is an interesting question. What relationship in your life has blossomed the most in this past year?
Get out of my head. I was looking at that question. I was like ready to ask that one to you. Actually, it's my relationship with you.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Like, I feel like
it has been my first official year here.
It's like because this time last year you had were a month in, right? You started at like the beginning of November, and we were friends when you started, but like not super close friends like we are now. And like obviously we spend so much more time together, both in person and largely virtually, but like that, I think, evolution, like what I actually was going back and listening in preparation for this episode, I listened to our Dating Wrapped one from last year, and that really, it has struck me over the last it has struck me over the last couple of weeks when you've been taking care of Logan. Which I just really appreciate. It's he loves you so much.
And I love him.
But I think it
minus the shedding. That part I don't like. But you know, I still love him.
The shedding is tough. You just can't put anything down ever. That's the rule.
I'm just like, I literally need to put my clothes on that I'm leaving with 2 seconds before I leave. I figured it out.
Yeah, that's how it works in my house. But like I was listening to that Dating Wrapped episode and like then thinking about the year and, you know, what our favorite episodes have been and all that stuff, and just realizing in a really concrete way like how much not only the pod but also our friendship has grown over the last year in a way that's just really special to me.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me join you on the pod, because it's been fun for me. And I've really enjoyed us becoming closer as well.
Yeah. It's been really nice.
And winning over your cats. I will.
You did. I mean, Logan is a pretty good cat ambassador. If anybody doesn't like cats, it'd be like, well, let's bring Logan into the picture and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's a good
Rory, not so much. Rory,
well, because that's the thing. I dated a guy, that's Eggs Benedict. He had a cat. And like that cat and I never bonded at all. That I was like, yeah, I don't get it.
Some cats aren't it. Some cats aren't it.
Wasn't it for me, but
yeah, I get
Logan's
it.
A G.
Well, besides Logan, what relationship in your life has blossomed in the past year?
I mean, clearly you as well. Well, but now I'm like, I can't copy your answer, but I also can't be like, well, actually, for me, it's not us, Allie.
I will accept that you feel the same and can have another answer as well.
Yeah. I guess this one almost feels like a bit of a cheat because it's like I moved to LA and I've been out there more. Because I guess I technically am not 100% fully in LA. But definitely like my childhood best friend, Jordan, that lives out there.
Yeah.
It's been just like, it's just so nice to like actually be together because we just haven't in so many years. And it's like,
yeah, when's the last time that you guys lived in the same place?
Well, that would actually be like when we went away to college. I think her parents only stayed in our hometown for maybe 2 more years, and then she would be going back home to like Colorado where her parents live. So
she's like, not even back in your hometown for like holidays and stuff.
No. So like I really would only see Jordan usually maybe once a year when I would do like an LA trip, and I would like stay with her and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember being like, I only lived in the city for maybe like a year or two, and I remember going to visit her in Colorado for a weekend. And that's kind of just like a natural comfort thing. I'm sure people know of like where you're just like, oh, someone that like I've known forever, and like it's just, she's just the friend that I'm like, I never have to feel like I like or it just, it always feels like you pick up right where you left off. Like you didn't miss a beat, even though it'll be like, oh, we actually haven't like talked in a few months, but like the minute we're in the same room. And I also would like to thank this podcast for also introducing me to Rourke, because she's out in LA and she's also been really helpful with like helping me feel welcome there and like inviting me to stuff. So that also is a thank you to you for introducing me to Rourke as well.
I'm so happy you guys have hit it off. It's like very fun to see like when you like introduce two people and you're like, I think you're going to get along. And then you do.
Yeah. Like I was like, oh, I 100% see why you did a podcast with Rourke. She's great. So, but yeah, so I'm thankful for, you know, this pod and getting to talk to you for 2 hours every week.
In addition to our like daily text message streams.
Yeah, right.
Something that surprised me about me in like a good way was that I think in the past, especially like last year, I would have continued to date somebody like the publicist for longer than I did. And I think that something that surprised me was that I was okay when that ended in a way that like, because it was certainly mutual. Like it wasn't like I ended it with him and he was devastated. Like we both, like both of us were like, I think this has kind of run its course, et cetera, whatever. But like, I was okay in a way that it surprised me, but then I was like, oh, that actually feels really good that I was able to be like, okay, yeah, it didn't make sense to continue to date. And he didn't want to either. And like, that's not a reflection on me. Like I can be okay with that. And it like, I think it surprised me that I was okay. Does that make any sense?
Well, I feel like it's like the aftermath where we often end up somewhat blaming ourselves or like poking at ourselves to be like, was there anything I should have done differently? Could have done differently? Like, did it go this way because of X, Y, Z? And a little bit of that is like, overall anxiety, you know, where you analyze stuff. But I've more been in the camp of is it me feeling? Even when I was sitting there saying, I don't think it was like the right fit for me or like my partner for life. But there's still something, sometimes when things don't work out, that I'll just feel this like, why isn't it working out? And like, am I the problem? You know, kind of feeling. I don't know if that's what you were getting at, but I've had that feeling where I'm like,
yes,
this is a good person, and like, why isn't it working? And is it me?
That's exactly what I meant when I said, when I was talking about like I would have dated him for longer, like in the past, because I don't think I would have like, I don't think I would have been able to not be like, it's just me, like I just need to, like I got, this is a good person and it's going well, and like I need to keep, or if it ended, I would do that spiral, like you said, of like, oh, if maybe if I had just tried one more time, or maybe if I had done this, or if I hadn't done this, or if we hadn't gone to Greece, would that have happened? I would have spiraled in the past in my head. And it surprised me actually that I didn't. And I talked to my therapist about it at the time. And I remember talking to her and being like, I'm okay. And she was like, is that a problem?
Sometimes feel like it's this thing where you're like, you just want them to like you, you know what I mean? And I feel like that was like a younger me on dates, where you're like, and less focused on do I like them, and you're more almost feel like you're being like, okay, I want them to like me,
right? It's like, well, I didn't want to go out with you again, but you should want to go out with me again, and yes, why don't you want to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, versus like, oh,
I didn't
actually
think this was going to work out, but the fact that you do not want another date is crazy. You should want another date, and I should be saying,
what
no.
the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be obsessed with me, even though I know we're not compatible.
Right, exactly. Where you're like, you should be calling.
I should be ignoring your phone calls, actually, is what should be happening. Yes, it's exactly that. And I think that this is one of the not the first time, but like this is a time where I like dated somebody for a longer period of time and didn't have that like that self-sabotage thought of like, oh no, he didn't want me either.
Right.
So yeah, that surprised me. But per my therapist, it's a good thing.
I mean, in terms of like a person, I think the nurse surprised me the most, because my big thing with that before it even like got going was me kind of being like, I don't know if this could like work, and I don't know if I should kind of cross that line from friendship. But I'm like, I'm glad I explored it, and it was surprising both in like wonderful ways and then also frustrating ways. Yeah, or I guess recently would be that I just headlined my hometown, and I was a little surprised at like it being much easier than I was kind of stressing about it to be.
Oh, fantastic.
If that makes sense. Yeah, and yeah, it was like a new challenge. Yeah, like I was able to do, I did almost an hour. I did 52 minutes. But I was mainly impressed with that because I had to clean up my act a little bit for my mom. So that got rid of a bunch of jokes that I was like, well, that would, you know, give me 10 minutes of time, but now we can't say those jokes. So it kind of gave me a challenge. And yeah, I was kind of like pleasantly surprised with like how well it went. And I was proud of myself.
Is that the longest set you've done?
I have done an hour before. It's just more like that's the next kind of jump in my career is to jump to more headlining gigs. And a reason I've been dragging my feet on it is like the fear of literally filling the time, because it's, you know, you set a higher standard for yourself, like we usually do. And it's like, especially my hometown, it's like, all right, you guys are like paying to come see me. And I want people to leave feeling like that was worth not only paying for, but also literally coming. Like you, this was your big night out of the weekend, and I want you to leave being like,
yeah,
that was so fun. I had a great time. You know,
that's, I was going to ask, like, with, it makes sense that it would be, but like with headlining versus if you're opening for somebody or when you're at the Cellar, et cetera, like with headlining, it's like they bought the ticket for you.
Yeah, pretty much. There might be some people that just were like, cool, comedy night, and bought a ticket. But like,
yeah.
I, you know, after the show, stand by the door and I am saying hello, giving everyone a hug hello. I had like so many old teachers there. And what's interesting is like some jokes, it's actually easier because they like know me and know my family. So like I do a little joke making fun of my dad. They're like more excited about that than say like the average Joe.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, it's kind of this thing where it's more like I've been doing it 10 years and I want it to look like I've been doing it 10 years. I don't want them to come and be like, yeah, cute that she's still trying that comedy. You know, like I want them to leave being like,
look at her up there. Great.
Yeah, she's good. Like she's clearly, you know, gotten better than the last time I saw her. And like, that's kind of all I can ask for on that level. So I was a little stressed, but it was really great. So I was like pleasantly surprised. So that was probably my biggest surprise in terms of like life.
I love that.
So, okay. So to wrap up the episode, we're going to share some of the learnings that all our listeners experienced this year.
Yeah, we got some great ones. And also I will like put a little compilation of them together too to post, because there are just so many gems that we don't have time to share, but like so many great learnings. And thank you everyone for sharing. So yeah, we'll go back and forth with some of our favorites.
Yes. I love this one. I want to start with this one because I love someone who is self-aware. I keep ending up with emotionally unavailable men because I am emotionally unavailable. Snaps for that.
That's real. That's real.
That's real. Props to you for admitting that.
Yeah. That honestly, that's the first step.
Yeah.
that's step number one. I like this one. To keep myself open, and she puts open in capital letters, to possibilities in a wider range of humans.
Yeah, love that. There you go.
Yeah,
date outside,
especially with our like, yeah, with our like conversation about, you know, filters and like thinking about, you know, what could we do differently. I love that.
Here's a good one. Just because you love them doesn't mean you should stay in a relationship with them.
Oh, we're getting real, real.
Very real. Sounds like the listeners are going to therapy and very proud of all you.
We love them for that. We love them for that. Unspoken needs cannot be met. Tell your partner what you need.
Yeah. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I love that one.
Well, here's a personal favorite I love because it kind of pertains to me. No matter how much I like a guy, if he won't go down on me because I have herpes, he isn't worth it. I'd say any man that doesn't go down on you, if that's what you like, is not worth it. But yes, especially herpes. That's something that took me a long time to kind of be like, yeah, just because I have herpes doesn't mean I deserve like sex that isn't good. And
absolutely.
To put up with that. So very proud of you, whoever submitted that. Good for you. I love that.
This goes along with my goal for 2024. Taking action always favors not taking action. Go do the thing. Go.
Yeah. It's very similar to the you got to speak up for what you want. But yes.
Yes.
I like this one for a little bit of a pivot. The comfort I've gained in being alone is what allowed me to build community in a new city.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah, there you go. Love that. Love time to yourself.
Similarly, turned 40 this year, realized how happy I am. I'm staying focused on that going forward.
I love that. I get that. I have a little bit of anxiety with like every birthday. So I'm very happy you are happy.
My mom, my brother and I at dinner last night, we were talking about, we are all like evenly spaced apart. My mom is 30 years older than me. And then my brother is 5 years younger than me. So there will be a year in 3 and change where my mom turned 70, I turned 40 and Drake turned 35. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about like, oh, what should we do in that year? I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a lot sooner than I had previously realized. So I really appreciate that submission from this person. I have one that kind of pertains to me personally.
Go for it.
You can't give 100% at work and expect to have any left for home.
That one is debatable, but I get what you're saying. Where it's like, I think it's more, I look at that from my own lens, is more like, if work is your 100% of your life, then it's almost more like when it's not going great, that makes you realize like where you're lacking in other parts of your life as well. So.
Yeah. The way that it was hitting for me was that like grinding yourself at work is going to then mean that you have less bandwidth for other stuff in your life that actually makes you happier, at least in my case. Like I really do like my job, but volleyball makes me happier, for example.
Yeah.
But like if I'm like nose to the grindstone all the time at work, then I'm absolutely exhausted and I don't have time to do the stuff that actually like fills my cup, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then it just is a cycle that continues.
Yeah, you need both. You need the balance, and unfortunately sometimes work does take all of our energy. But it's hopefully
very true.
We're all gonna go into 2024 with a better balance in our lives. Let's say that.
Agree.
This is kind of funny to me because we got two that almost are somewhat the opposite.
Oh really?
So one person said, always trust my intuition. And then another person said, sometimes it's not my intuition talking to me, it's my fears.
Both are valid in different scenarios.
But I liked it, like, it's almost a caveat, like, but sometimes it's actually just your fears and you're blaming it as your intuition and you're lying to yourself.
Yep. I think this, like, gets into, it's like where your patterns are. Like,
yes.
Sounds like the first person has a pattern of like ignoring things, ignoring maybe red flags or like ignoring things that, you know, they don't like someone or whatever. And the other person is just pushing people away like before they have a chance to hurt them.
Yes, 100%.
That's very funny.
Here's what I find interesting. It's a little different. I guess a less dating one. Instead of having a to-do list, make a to don't list to help prioritize important over urgent. And that's something I probably need to do better as well.
I really like that. The important versus urgent thing has helped me. I've been like trying to get better about trying to do less, because when I try to do too much, I don't get anything done.
Exactly.
And the important versus urgent thing has been helpful with my to-do list. Of like, these are the things that I absolutely have to do today. These are the things that would be like really great if I did. And these are the things that I just like really do not need to do.
Yeah. Something else I've been better at is looking at things that I'm like, almost like it's something that I could like do on my phone while I'm kind of doing something else. Like, let's say like I'm taking a flight Tuesday. There's some things that's like, Erica, you could do that from your phone in your Uber ride to the airport. Like you could use that 25 minutes of Uber ride to like call that place that you need to call, you know, pay that online bill, like whatever those little things are that I'm almost like, okay, that I can save for downtime. I'm on my phone, whatever that downtime is. I'm waiting for my flight to board, all that stuff, versus other things, like you said, that are like more important, where it's like, this has to get done. And it requires like, I have to physically go somewhere and like do something else like that.
Right.
Because I am someone, people will be like, well, just make a like to-do list. And I'm like, my to-do list is always never ending. So when I actually sit and write it out, I'll have like 5 pages organized by like category of like podcast, comedy, personal, health. Like, and it, and that actually just overwhelms me more. And I'm like, and then I just feel paralyzed. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, none of it's going to get done.
I have absolutely been there. All right. This is the one that I would like to end on. To not betray myself.
I'm trying to think. What's an example of like betraying yourself?
I think about it as like being authentic to myself. Of like continuing to remember like what's important to me. What do I want to do? What do I want? What makes me happy? You know, what are my values? Like continuing to come back to that. I've been thinking about that a lot with, you know, my job and what I want to do with my life and all that stuff. Is just like, I want to make decisions that feel authentic to me.
Oh, okay. I kind of took it as a like, you know how we say in relationships, like you should like be giving the other person the benefit of the doubt and like not setting them up to fail in a way. I took it as almost like sometimes we are setting ourselves up to fail and we're not even realizing it. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Give me an example.
Well, like what we were just saying with like overworking yourself and like taking on too much responsibility is often setting us up to fail. And I've realized that a few times where I'm like, you're now like either completely burnt out or slacking and now behind on stuff, but it's because you took on too much. Like you didn't need to take this stuff on. You chose to. And in return, you set yourself up to fail.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Like there's like this aspect of like when you take too much on, but then you're like, oh, I'm going to be disappointing 6 different people. But you could have just said no to 2 of those people, simplifying this, and then been able to do the 4 things.
Yes, and those do it really well.
And do it really well. And those 2 people that you said no to are not disappointed because they asked you for something or they, you know, whatever it is, and you said no. But now they are disappointed because you said yes, and now you can't do it.
Exactly. And that's something I need to be like a little bit better at. And I think I have been a little bit better at trying to like outsource more things instead of like making myself do it. And that is, I guess that counts as betraying yourself, where it's like being honest with yourself, that there's sometimes things I'll take and I'm like, you really don't want to do this. Like this is one of the hardest things to make yourself sit down and do. And it's something that you could pay someone else to do who's better at it and would do it faster than you anyway. So it's like, why are you making yourself do it? Stop.
That is how I feel about cleaning my apartment.
Yeah, that's a valid one. It's an easy one. Or that was something with, you know, the episode we did with the Marry Him book. I was thinking about like the things you're like, quote, willing to settle for. I honestly, my thought process was, what is stuff you can throw money at?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if you're dating someone who's messy and you see their apartment and you're a little like, they're kind of messy. In the back of your head, be like, well, if there comes a day we live together, we can budget for someone that comes and cleans. So I don't have to do it and they don't have to do it. And now problem solved.
Yeah. I was talking to my mom about my brother made us dinner when I was home in San Diego, and he's an excellent cook and dinner was amazing. His apartment is so gross, however. It's like, it's nice. It's a nice apartment, and he and his roommate have done a nice job of decorating it, and there's, you know, whatever, but it's like, it's nice until you look just one level deeper. Like when you first walk in, you're like, oh, this is a nice place. And then you just look at, and like, you just start to notice like little things that are just, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, this whole place is disgusting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about that, and he is self-admittedly bad at cleaning. And I'm like, me too, but I want to live in a clean apartment. And I know I'm bad at cleaning, and I know I'll never do it because I'm bad at it and I hate it. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I've budgeted in for a very long time, because I'm like, I know that I'm bad at this, but I also know that it's important to me to live in a nice space and like one where I don't feel overwhelmed by the mess.
Yeah, it's worth it. And if it's worth
it. And that's not something that like everybody can do. But yeah, it's, you know, acknowledging that. Not something everybody can do, but like he can, and therefore it frustrates me. It's so gross here. It doesn't have to be gross.
But you can get it for him as like a gift, like a one-time cleaning. and see if he falls in love with it. And then you're like, this is how much it costs. It's not that much. You could do this even once a month, buddy. Here's a good one that I think a lot of people pleasers will relate to. My needs are still valid, even if they sometimes inconvenience others.
Yeah. Yeah. Not wanting to inconvenience people. I mean, similarly to what you said about taking on too much.
Yep.
It's like that. Those two things are very related, I think.
Yeah. Or even, you know, the example of like, you want to see your friends and they're making plans with you and you just know, like, I don't have it in me this week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the energy. I would love to see you, but like, I need to just stay home.
100%.
Things like that.
Yeah.
It's nice to end on. Thank you everyone for submitting.
It was a lovely note to end on. And yeah, thank you to everyone. And we are looking forward to 2024. Got a couple more weeks in us yet, but excited for what the new year brings to all of us.
Yes. So cheers to everybody in the new year. And I hope you change something good in your life in the next year.
Agreed.
Or change that week. Will make it good. Sorry. Not change something that's good. Take the good things. Change it. No.
I hope you take something good and make it terrible.
Yeah. You know what I mean. I hope good change comes to you. That's what I mean.
Sabotage your life, everybody. See you next week.
Yeah. Sabotage 2024. Bye. Sorry.